From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Welcome to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. I'm Dave Edwards. A report on the status of Hispanics in our region shows that individuals of working age are underrepresented in higher wage jobs and are overrepresented in fields such as farming, food preparation, and serving. We have guests today who can discuss the topic. Back in June, there was a meeting regarding the report, and UWM Chancellor Mark Mone was part of that discussion. Mark, let me start with you. Why is this topic important to you and to UWM?
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here. This is a vitally important topic for our entire region. It's dealing with the livelihoods of an important part of our population, the Hispanic community, but much more importantly, to the overall health and well-being of our community, given the number of individuals, lives affected, families. And as an institution, UW-Milwaukee, that wants to become a Hispanic-serving institution, which means 25% of our undergraduates would be Hispanic, this is vitally important for us to recognize the health, the vitality, and economic and educational well-being of the sector of our region.
Mm-hmm. So we're also excited to be joined today by two other guests, Raquel Felmanowitz, who is board chair of the Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee, and Kim Schultz, who's director of strategic partnerships for the organization. Raquel, let me start with you and ask you why this report is important to the organization, to the community now.
Yeah, this is a very important report. This is the first time we've commissioned a study in partnership with the Wisconsin Policy Forum through funding from Rockwell Automation and Bader Philanthropies. But it was important for HPGM to get the data, have the statistics, have the vital information for our policymakers, our leaders who are developing workforce strategies, to have that information of where Hispanics stand in our community.
Mm-hmm. So there's always been this anecdotal conversation that's taken place, but now you have facts to support that?
Right. The Hispanic population has grown significantly in our region, and if it weren't for that growth, the region would have remained flat or have had a decline in population. So we want to make sure there's a voice for our community, for our students that are in school, for our emerging leaders and our those entering the workforce, because this study does outline where they stand, educational attainment, occupation selection, and how much money they're making in comparison to their peers.
That's very interesting. So, Kim, you're in charge of strategic partnerships and others for the organization. When you read this report, what direction is it giving you?
Sure. So at HPGM, we historically have always served Hispanic professionals, so that's people who are already in the workforce. But about 6 years ago, we launched student chapters as well. Because I think, like you said, anecdotally, we knew that the population was growing and it was young and that we really needed to start supporting people earlier. So I think this information has really shown what we already knew, that we need to continue to support students in school. And that really is a joint effort with all of our university partners. And it's also a partnership with corporations in the area and working with them to really align their strategies around diversity and inclusion with a way that makes sense and meeting students where they are to make sure that once students do get through school, there's a path for them career-wise as well.
Mm-hmm. So let me pick on, I mean, there's so much in this report that we can spend time talking about, and I'd really urge people to read it. It's a fascinating report. But let's pick up on that theme of education, the disparities between Hispanics and non-Hispanics in Milwaukee. As Chancellor of UWM, when you see that, what does that tell you as it pertains to the university and how it recruits students and nurtures students to get a degree?
Boy, there's a lot there. Let me just take
in 30 seconds or less.
Why so long? Yeah. My first couple of reactions are this reinforces UW-Milwaukee as an access and research university that's both part of our DNA. And also statutorily, we are here to serve this region. And when we look at the dynamics and especially the demographics in this region, it underscores just how important it is for us to continue to do everything we can to support our students. And when I talk about that, it's not just open the doors and have students enroll with diverse backgrounds, but to see them through to success. And that means graduation and employment. And that's really critical for this region. And this report absolutely underscores that. We need to have more 2- and 4-year education for individuals in our region, and especially in the Hispanic community, because that's where we see the underrepresentation. And the correlation between education and employment opportunities is very stark. And you see the doors open dramatically differently when you have those pathways. And so that's why I'm so proud of the partnership that we have with HPGM to really enable students to have more pathways, more mentors, more student scholarship availability, guidance, and to develop that critical mass and support across the community.
Kim, you're nodding your head up and down like this is really relating to what you've been thinking about. So when you look at that disparity and you think about what needs to be done, your reaction?
So I think it's threefold. I think obviously the first piece has to be the financial support. I know a lot of the students that we speak with, they want to get involved, they want to become engaged in our programs, but really they're so worried about how to even pay for their next semester or next year of school that has to be their first focus. So in partnership with UWM and other schools in the region, we've been awarding scholarships for advanced degrees since 2004. Mm-hmm. But in 2016, we launched our undergraduate program, which includes matching dollars from UWM, which is really exciting. There's been really a tremendous response of students who are applying to the program this year. We've just announced our 2019-2020 winners. We have 10 from UWM, which is really exciting, the most ever. I can tell you we also had a lot, unfortunately, that you know we have to say no to, which is, you know, a good problem to have, but we hope people will continue to support the program. So that totals $36,000 this year that we'll be awarding, which is exciting. So I think that's step one. Mm-hmm. Step two is really the support, because a lot of these students are first generation. They might not have access to they don't know how to navigate the system. They don't have mentors in place. So how are we supporting them, like the chancellor just said, once they're here, to make sure that they continue to be successful?
Mm-hmm. Raquel, when you talk to people in the community, I would imagine that this concern just doesn't happen when someone's thinking about going to college. In some respect, you have to put that seed into people's thought patterns when kids are in middle school, high school, and work with their families, some of the families who may never have set foot on a university campus themselves. I mean, is that part of the challenge?
That is. It's definitely building and raising awareness on the significance of continuing education with the whole family, because these are first-generation students, and they don't know how to navigate. Families don't know the financial aid FAFSA process.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's confusing for me and while I was getting my kids ready. But so, and then there's the language barriers. So all these different components like really add to the stress levels and just like the confusion for students considering school. But what was so fascinating about this report is the fact that they are more likely to get certificate programs that it's great, but the opportunity to get, you know, positions where they could be earning more dollars, more money, is limited. So, I mean, we really stress at HPGM the opportunity that you can excel. You have the support system. Our student chapters at all these colleges and universities provide a hub of support from social skills. And I really want Kim to kind of dive into like the tactical things that HPGM does. But one thing that I love to hear is we have a huge turnout when we offer our students headshots to get them ready for their resume, for LinkedIn.
Something as simple as that,
because our students, like, you know, will take a picture in the bathroom, you know, like doing a selfie, and they think that that's professional enough to put on LinkedIn. And, you know, so these are like the types of things that we help them with that, you know, their peers from different demographics already know.
Sure, sure. Kim, talk about that. What's going on?
Sure. So with our student chapters, first, they function, it's a leadership opportunity because they really function as an arm of our organization on campuses, on 12 different campuses. And so there's an opportunity. One is, you know, I think really essential to getting students ahead once they are in the workforce is our internship component. We have tons of corporate partners and nonprofit partners who are always looking for young young talent to help them, and we help connect with internships. So that's really something that, you know, that's important to have on the resume when they graduate. And then it really is the soft skills. It's how do you write a resume? How do you follow up after an interview? How do you dress professionally? How do you ask for and give feedback? I think one thing, too, that we've seen, especially with our Hispanic students, is that they don't like to boast about themselves. And it's kind of making that distinction between you're not being, you know, cocky, you're being confident, and you're sharing your skills and what you bring to the table. And that's an important piece if you want to, you know, get a step ahead once you're out of school.
Mm-hmm. Mark, can you talk specifically about some of the things that UWM has been doing? And of course, now with this report in front of you, maybe amp up in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we've recognized for a long time that there's a fundamental achievement gap. We know that this state, unfortunately, has the largest achievement gap between black and white achievement that starts in high school and it persists through college. We rank 43rd out of the country, out of 50 states, for Hispanic achievement gap. So we know, as an access institution, the extra steps that are necessary. Kim and Raquel have talked about the first-generation issue, and that's a big one. 61% of the Hispanic students at UWM are first-generation. So we need to provide resources and tools. We have a bevy of things that we're doing. In fact, it's about a dozen different specific activities that we have been amping up, that we're accelerating and putting more resources behind. They include more resources for advising. We have student peer mentors. We have tutoring. We have what's called supplemental instruction. So if you take courses in math or some of the English areas that are some of the entry-level things that are very challenging to get through initially, then we want to have coursework outside where you have additional instructors to provide those types of resources. We've got an app today that students can download because everything has become so app-driven that tells students when their grades are starting to go the wrong way and also alerts their advisor. So we've enacted what we call intrusive advising. So we want people to be aware of where we can give some help. We've got living learning communities that are focused on different majors and different student backgrounds and populations so that there's identity. We've also increased support for our Roberto Hernandez Center by having two co-directors, and that provides not just the academic advising and how to go and help navigate, as Kim talked about. College is bewildering, frankly, for anybody, and especially for first-generation students who haven't had a lot of family mentoring and a lot of time on campuses before. So the Roberto Hernandez Center is kind of a one-stop shop, but it especially emphasizes a lot of the sociocultural components, a lot of the issues around language and just, you know, how to have friends, how to make yourself at home.
And how campus. To navigate it, yeah.
How to navigate it. So there's a number of other things like that. As well as, of course, looking at how do we expand the financial support? How do we expand to make sure that students can get through that? And that's a tough thing for all our students. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a public institution, we're really proud of the role that we play, and we want to continue to ensure that student success is our number one priority.
Mm-hmm. So, Kim, Raquel, when you hear that, I mean, that obviously has to sound good to you, but it probably isn't enough in light of this report. And I'd like to go back to the report with that because, Raquel, you said that a lot of the students seek certificate programs, and that's a pretty good entree point into higher education, but it's probably not the path that's going to get you a high-paying job that this report calls out. So taking what Mark said and pulling all that together, what has to be done, not just by UWM, but by others in the community?
Yeah, I think a key factor is just providing these students, these potential students, with the possibility and just like the understanding of the careers that are available at an early, early age. Grammar school, high school, that a career in financial services is a possibility, legal, healthcare. These are very good family wage-earning positions that could really make a transformational difference in their lives, as opposed to what this report shows, most of the Hispanics work in service industry, landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're eventually trying to shift, is just this understanding that you can have a career in these different fields that will garner you a good salary.
And I think on that, what we try to do and our partners try to do is showcase people who've done it, you know, showcase people who look like these students, who have similar backgrounds, who have been able to make their way through the system and be successful. And I just know from our students, it's really important for them to hear, you know, honest stories, to hear about what other people have gone through, what the, you know, troubles they've had, how they've made it through, and to see people who look like them is really empowering, and then to hopefully connect with some of those people and use them as mentors and as connectors, because otherwise it can feel really overwhelming if you feel like you're the first one who's trying to do this.
And with the fairly rapid growth of the Hispanic population here in southeastern Wisconsin, it would seem to me that that's going to become an even bigger issue because you have to have more support for more people. This can't just be a small little program if you really want to have an impact.
Right. I mean, I work for a bank, BMO Harris Bank, and, you know, we struggle with recruitment and diversity and trying to find talent. And the talent's there. But we have to do a better job as a community, as business leaders, to really have purposeful recruiting around this particular demographic.
How do you do that? So if there's someone listening who is running another business somewhere else and they share the same concern that you have, what's your advice for them?
My advice would be to call HPGM, you know, because they do have the connection points with all of our corporate partners. We have, three dozen corporate partners. Every major company in town is a member of HPGM. So we have connections within each corporation. But then also to seek out mentors that are in that field. And I know that can be hard if you just don't know, have that network. But I mean, growing up, I'm first generation. I'm the first to attest that I really could have used an HPGM when I was finishing high school, going into college. I never saw anyone of my color or my ethnicity in a business suit. Nobody went downtown to work. So it's just kind of shifting that mindset, giving people like some visual examples of what the future could be.
I would say too, it's a two-way street is how we approach it at HPGM, because you have to be on one hand telling the students you have to show up, you know, you have to take advantage of the opportunities that are being given to you, even if it's scary, which sometimes it is, which I think it really helps to have their kind of peer group engaged in these sorts of things so they feel more comfortable. And what I always tell students is the people who come to HPGM events or programs, they're there because they want to meet you and they want to talk to you and they want to tap into your talent. And then I think on the corporate side, it's saying, you know, it can be easy to just say, well, it's not there. You know, the diverse talent isn't there. We don't know where to find it. You have to kind of go out and get it. So I think we're trying to approach it from both angles to hopefully find a bridge in the middle.
Sure. Mark, I know that UWM is working to become a Hispanic serving institution. What does that mean to you?
So it means a couple of things. One is, first of all, the doors that are going to be open. When we attain 25% Hispanic undergraduate population, we'll have more access for federal funding at lower rates for our students. To me, on a bigger level, though, what it really talks about is what a culture and society that would create, what a critical mass we would then have in terms of the support, the opportunities, the types of things that as we are on that track and as we're on that trajectory, what we see is natural growth in the areas we've described. In fact, if you look over the last 8 years, part of this report shows that we've had 75,000 additional Hispanics added to the community population. And if it weren't for that, you know, that's basically the entire growth of the region.
Yeah.
and everything else is basically either static or declining. So this is absolutely the future, and we're going to grow with it. But we want to do more. We have to accelerate more because we have to change the dynamic. And what you've heard today in terms of the results of this report is very disturbing to me because we're denying access. And I don't think it's deliberate as much as just by not being proactive, by not providing more access to education. Again, I come back to 2- and 4-year education that really is a game changer in terms of opening the doors. So what we're doing and why we're going down this path is things that we think are right from an access university perspective, but also working in partnership. So our partnerships with M-Cubed and having a significant difference if you look at the turnaround that we've achieved with Bradley Tech. The results in terms of academic and number of students going on to college from Bradley Tech are growing, and we're seeing that with things that we're doing with MPS today, which is, frankly, a school district that is about 90% students of color, and this is going to be really important for us, and you've heard me talk a lot before, and we've had the leaders of MPS and MATC where we've talked a lot on the show about M-Cubed, but it's really neat to see what we're doing now 5 years in. And the other thing we're doing across the entire region is working with Higher Ed Regional Alliance, which we've also talked about before, but that's really powerful for the entire region to have collective voice and collective impact to have higher ed with the number one focus is completion. And that's for all our students in this region where we have a significant number when you're talking about all publics and all privates, all 2 and 4 year institutions working together on greater achievement. That's going to help with all our campuses, Hispanic students, as well as African American, Asian, Native American, and white students.
Mm-hmm. So Mark has laid out a pretty ambitious vision there. And I'd love to hear from both of you, Kim and Raquel, in terms of your organization and how you see your organization connecting up with UWM and forming that partnership with UWM and with other institutions. Raquel?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a great partnership with UWM. They have one of the largest student chapters within our portfolio of college and university chapters. And I think it's just that the continuation of, like, raising dollars for scholarships, like, that is, I think, so key to our community, Hispanic community, is that shortfall of funding that they have between what financial aid can provide and what the family can provide. So if we can bridge that to help them, like, have that security of financial stability so that they can focus on staying in school, not dropping out, you know, just keeping that
not worrying about the money thing.
Yeah,
right.
First, I'd like to add to the financial piece is that something that makes our scholarship program unique is that we also support DACA and undocumented students. We don't ask a citizenship question on our scholarship application, which is really important because that's an added barrier for some of these students as well. So I think for us in the future is just continuing to make sure that when students come to UWM or any of other partner schools that they know about us, that they know that we're a resource for them so that I don't hear, you know, after the deadline's passed that, oh, I didn't know about the scholarship mm-hmm. program or vice versa, that, you know, they feel they don't know what's going on campus. I think the collaboration piece is really important. I also, for us, we really like to focus on making sure students aren't just in their own silo also at their university. So how are students from UWM connecting with students from Marquette and MATC and other universities so that they also feel like they're building a support system and network that can help guide them through the process. And then hopefully once they're out of school as well, they'll feel like they have a community and that they can feel confident building their career here.
Mark.
Dave, if I could also add in, I must say that we have Raquel is at the table for our Hispanic serving community advisory board. So she's been a great leader, a great community person for us to work with and rely upon for her insights, access, and suggestions. We also have, for HERA, the Higher Ed Regional Alliance, we also have both HPGM and the Hispanic Collaborative leadership at the table of the steering committee. So they're really important partners as we go down that path as well.
Mm-hmm. We just have a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask each of you very quickly. Sometimes when reports like this come out, we have conversations like this, we get excited about it. But a year from now, if we have this conversation, what's the one thing that each of you would like to see where we're making some improvement or something is going on that's addressing this issue? Raquel?
For me, I would just love to know that our key elected officials, our business leaders, our community leaders are aware of this report. Like, they have the data. Like, they know where this community stands. Because that for me, as board chair of HPGM, it's my job to help raise awareness of the mission of the organization and to continue to garner support by really every facet of the community.
Kim, what do you want to see different a year from now?
I think we're making strides as far as kind of changing changing the perception of what it means to be a professional. And it's great to find to access a 2-year degree education. But how do we help those students who earn those degrees or certificates step into that 4-year degree? And how do we make sure that in those efforts we're being conscious of the, you know, maybe some of the non-traditional students are in those positions and providing those resources. I also think we're hoping that this study is a first step onto hopefully many more studies, including, okay, once students do graduate, where are they going? You know, are they staying in Milwaukee? What companies are they going to? We have a sense kind of the professions that they're in, but I'd like this to really be the first leg of something much bigger.
Mark, you're a get-it-done guy. What's different a year from now?
Number one is closing the achievement gap. We have been on a trajectory, and since I've been chancellor, I've put that out as one of my top goals, and I'm happy to say that today we have our closest to closure at 3% first to second year retention. So your question is about 1 year, so I've got to keep it to 1 year. And when I look at who returns, that's the first step to coming back for years 2, 3, and 4. So I look at that, and that leads to graduation. So we now have a 3% achievement gap, which is the lowest it's been, and I'm really proud of that, but I want that to be zero. I want there to be no gap. And what that means is everything that I talked about earlier in terms of all those different steps, we have to drive those even harder and really be as conscientious as we possibly can to keep everything focused on student success, which is graduation, and you get there 1 year at a time. So it's about, mm-hmm. to me, closing that achievement gap.
You know, I knew we would only scratch the surface of this report and this topic in the half hour that we have. But Kim or Raquel, can you give us the website or contact information if somebody's listening, they want more information or they want to get connected with any of these subjects? How do they get in touch with the organization?
Sure. So our website is hpgm.org. You can find info about this study as well as all of our programs, our scholarships, as well as the full report is on the Wisconsin Policy Forum website as well.
Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. This has really been a very enlightening conversation. My guests have been Raquel Filmonowicz, board chair of the Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee, Kim Schultz, director of strategic partnerships for that organization, and of course, Mark Mone, the chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. This has been the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.